You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Outlander After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Outlander After Show. Mary
of Souls, she's this song is so beautiful. You guys, we are back. Episode 2 of Outlander, everybody's favorite show out there if you're tuning in. This is episode 2 again. It's Castle Leoch. And I am so excited to be back. How are you guys feeling? Are you guys stoked to be back? It's been a great week, right?
So excited.
I'm a little sad because now I have to wait till next week
I know.
Happy Outlander Day to everyone. This is the farthest part of the week.
Happy Outlander Day. But I am your host, Keaton Markey, and I have my full panel of co-hosts here with me today. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, guys. I'm Roya Tahiri.
Hey, Roya.
Hi, I'm Kendra Summer.
Hey, I'm Ryan Hooks. So before we get started, I want to say something.
Say something,
Ryan. I want to say something to everyone out there in the audience land. So we had like 56,000 views this week on YouTube. Woo! So thank you guys for all of your love and support. Like,
yes.
All the fan groups. Like a billion people on Twitter have been tweeting at us. And it's so awesome. We appreciate you so much. If you really want to help us out, one thing you can do is follow us on Twitter. At Keaton Markey, at Hey Roya, at Kendra Summer, at RyanHooks92. The other thing that really, really helps us out for our show and for our network is to go on iTunes and rate us.
Absolutely.
Give us 5 stars because that makes our show more searchable. It makes us more prevalent on the iTunes market so that people see us and we can get more viewers and more followers, and that makes us on the map basically. So that the Outlander world knows that we're here.
And maybe we can get some of those lovely actors.
Oh, and we're going to get some of those lovely actors.
Sam Hewen.
Hi, Sam. To piggyback off that note, I do want to give a shout out because so many of you kept the conversation going this week. It was so much fun to kind of get feedback from you guys as well as talk about different theories and see what everybody's favorite scene was. So shout out to Mad Mimi 60, Mark W., Jill R., Cynthia Merritt, D. Miller, Nokomis Florida, Sarah Logan, and there are a ton of other people out there who did comment too. So next week I will read off a whole nother batch and shout out to you guys. So thank you so much, and just continue to watch. And
Love you guys.
We love our fans.
All right, well, enough serious.
Did you guys hear the series got picked up for a second season?
Season 2.
5 million views.
5 million views of episode 1, which is the most ever on Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's amazing kind of what Outlander has done, and it's literally only been 2 episodes.
It's not even in the UK or Scotland yet.
It's insane.
It's only been released here.
It just goes to show you like just how awesome these books are.
The power of a good
fan base, and it's just great writing, and they did the show right. Like, you could tell from the pilot, and you guys, I didn't think it could get better than the pilot, honestly, but episode 2, let's jump right into it, because it
because Jamie took his shirt off.
Amazing. so good. Overall thoughts, you guys, on this episode?
One word. Speechless?
Roya's speechless?
One word. Kendra.
There's so many. I'm going to hyphen mine.
Okay, hyphen. You can hyphen it. I will allow a hyphen.
I would say sophisticated with a twist.
Oh.
Success.
I would say just sultry.
Just
I don't know. No, it was spot on. It was absolutely spot on. So let's just go right into it and talk about, at the beginning of this episode, they picked up right, literally, I think it was almost the same shot as they ended last episode with, and they're walking.
They flipped the camera. They're in the gates now.
I know. They're in the gates of Castle Leoch. And the atmosphere, what did you guys feel about that? Because I felt like we were almost seeing Castle Leoch through Claire's eyes. Like, the way they shot it. It was just, I felt so immersed in that time period and in just that with the people and the castle, everything. What did you guys feel about the atmosphere?
It didn't seem like there was a war going on whatsoever in behind those gates. And it felt very homey.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it kind of felt a little cold. You could feel just how nervous and uncomfortable she really was. And then you see Miss Fritz and you just, you know, kind of warms up the shot. I really enjoyed that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I liked that they were just showing, like, everyone was greeting each other and they were kind of giving each other a hard time. You know, saw Rupert like, oh, you're going to break the horse's back because mm-hmm. you're fat and you're yeah. like cow riding a mouse. And it's like you were at somebody's house hanging out that you knew. But there was still that disconnect because you didn't know who they were, you know, what mm-hmm. was going to happen. And there was that awkwardness where you're kind of standing there waiting. And
but, you
felt like Claire.
Yeah, you did. You felt like Claire. But then it was also just so, it was just visually stunning. I just, like, shout out to, you know, the set designers, everybody who's involved with the look of the show. And the next topic with Castle Leok is the wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. The wardrobe department. Like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for how authentic it is. Thank you for just how, like, that whole dressing scene that Claire had.
That was one of my favorite scenes.
It was almost like a lesson of, like, what the different mm-hmm. articles of clothing were for, like, mm-hmm. the audience. It was great.
Ron Moore actually said that took 20 minutes to get her dressed in that outfit. So he's like, every time we had to reset, I kind of, you know, got a little nervous.
To refilm that scene?
Yeah.
Just of her getting dressed?
Yeah. The wardrobe is so cool, and mm-hmm. I love how eclectic it is because you can tell that who's the visitors in the castle, who are of the clan Mackenzie because mm-hmm. they have the certain tartan on, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. I'm just such a history buff, and so to see history kind of come to life in such a real way, I just loved it. I loved it, you guys. I absolutely loved it.
Did you love it?
I loved it. I loved it.
It's all about being part of the clan.
Absolutely.
You know what you have when you're part of the clan, though, is a beard.
You.
I'm working on, this really is my clan Mackenzie beard that I'm going to grow. I did it for Black Sails. Why not do it for Clan Mackenzie?
Right?
Well, everyone's so dirty. Like, I was shocked at how dirty everyone is in Scotland at that time. Like, mm-hmm. They're very authentically dirty.
Well, I liked that he was joking when he came in. He's like, you smell like a horse and you're gross. And she's like, give me a kiss.
Yeah. That was good.
That was awesome. Let's talk about the Clan Mackenzie since we have our own clan member here.
I'm a man.
Especially the leader of the clan, Colm, played by Gary Lewis, who you kind of geeked out about when you're watching it.
I'm so glad that, like, and I was saying last week, there wasn't a lot of people in the show that are, like, really well known. Gary Lewis is well known, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Absolutely.
You know, The Departed, and I love him in Gangs of New York. So he just has that mannerism about him that's sort of commanding, but he's really little in real life and mm-hmm. all the movies in compared to some actors. So, like, I like that he has a different look to him with the beard and the long hair. And even the fact that they're playing him as cripple, you know, with the leg, all that, but he's still, like,
it's Toulouse-Lautrec syndrome.
The bone, mm-hmm. The bone issue.
Toulouse-Lautrec syndrome, I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Sounded good.
that he's still, like, commanding in terms of his presence, mm-hmm. so.
Absolutely. I mean, even in the scenes, I loved the scenes between him and Claire because the juxtaposition of how short, you're right, he was, and how tall Claire is. It just, but then still, he had such a presence that they were on the same level. It was just, I loved those scenes.
And all the roles he's in, he has there's a seriousness about him that he plays. It's sort of a threatening seriousness. Because mm-hmm. even when he's like a bad guy or a good guy, he's got this look to him where he's just always in your face and threatening.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think that'll play well as the leader of this clan.
Yeah, I think he's great, and he absolutely completely compensates for the fact that he is a cripple of the time. And how cool was that, how they did his legs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Another thing, Ron Moore said that they used multicolored socks and then did some stuff with the green screen and other technical stuff.
Yeah, that's what I figured. They probably just put the tall sock, like mm-hmm. green socks on him, and then were just able to kind of visual effects in post.
It's very cool. Well, he also had wood inside his shoes.
You could see the lines in terms of where it looked like his bones were supported. And I wasn't sure if that was intentional because I saw it in his socks that I thought maybe they had built braces and put them on his legs and then put socks over them so that it looked like legs, but also that it looked like they were supported so they didn't break.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was probably mostly visual effects, but the actor, Gary still had to constantly remember
bow-legged
that's that was his character, and that's a huge character trait. Mm-hmm. And he did that great. But he still, he might have been walking with a limp, but I remember there was a whole passage in the book when Claire is talking about Colm, about how he might even be walking with a limp, but he still just has this presence about him where no one's going to mess with him, and nobody's going to, like, look down upon him because of this disease he has. Well, they don't even know it's a disease, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roy, you're being very quiet.
Well, no, I'm listening, you guys. You guys are hitting it on the head. I loved how they portrayed him from the book, and then it showed on the screen.
Yeah.
So that's what I liked. It worked.
Yeah, it was absolutely spot on what I would have imagined him in the book. Next, I would like to talk about Dougal, who... He is hot. I'm sorry. Something about Dougal. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that stash. I don't know. It's just the
beard.
Do you think it's the beard?
Of course he says that.
It's something about him. His presence is so good. And the chemistry between him and Colm and the way that they just barely have any lines spoken between them. And you just know looks. Exactly how... Each of them, you know, whether they agree with each other, whether they don't agree with each other. Like, it's like they have their own special language that's not even Gaelic. It's just
brothers. Brothers.
Brotherly love.
I feel like he's constantly stuck in one face, though. Like, every shot we see of Dougal is just, like...
Sort of serious and... Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because you wonder if he feels like he's living in Colm's shadow because he's not the leader of the clan. You know, he's, I guess, kind of like a second, if you will.
He is the second, yeah.
And you know, and there's that aspect of he probably feels like he should be in charge. Mm-hmm. So he kind of does his own thing. And as we saw with the episode, that he is doing his own thing. He's investigating Claire in his own way. And Colm even knows that it's happening, but he says, you know what, I let him do his thing.
Yeah. And
it's his business.
I think that's awesome that as brothers that they're able to use that balance and that, you know, they respect each other. Like, Dougal knows he was the second born. He knows he's not the Laird right now, but he goes out and he does things for Colm. He's the one going out fighting, like, and Colm respects that. It's not, I don't feel like it's so much a jealousy thing. I feel like it's a respect thing, and they know what each of them bring to the table right now, at least.
Well, it's but an act of love.
Don't trust him though, Dougal. I don't.
You don't trust Dougal.
He reminds
me. I agree.
Me,
there's something sketchy about him.
This is gonna be a kind of a really weird description of it, but their relationship kind of reminds me of Mufasa and Scar from Lion King. You know, Scar's got the hyenas, and Dougal's got his own little hyenas of people doing his own thing, and mm-hmm. just waiting for Scar to just. Oh, I'm sorry, for Mufasa just to die.
To die.
That's my...
Live the king.
Yeah. Are we going to get a musical number?
Maybe.
Not could yet. Happen.
You know? Be prepared. But, I mean, I don't know. I just... Graham McTavish is who plays Dougal. And people who've read the books, Dougal is a huge, huge character as the books do go on. And I'm very excited to see where he takes this character, because he's already just doing so much, like, for me, for this Dougal character in such little, like, literally, it, like, this, the two episodes have probably gone through,
right,
I don't
there,
know,
actually,
maybe about this much of the book, and I feel like I just know these characters so mm-hmm. well already.
I can see why you think Dougal's good looking. I was just visualizing his face in my head right now, and I'm like, damn, Keaton's right. There's something sexy about
it's
him.
Like
it's
a,
not a Jamie sexy.
No, it's like a Richard Gere sexy.
Yeah.
Like an old man. Like, no, he's not old. He's not old. It's just like, I don't know. It's just, he's like a man.
He's got wisdom of yeah. something. Yeah.
There's a fatherly thing to that, maybe?
It's how he carries the bagpipes.
No. Oh, well, I know where you're going with that. Yeah. Because we should talk about that, because that was one of my favorite scenes, actually, of the entire episode, is the scene where we see Claire kind of getting a bird's eye view of the entire castle and kind of its courtyard. And we see those kids playing, and then we see Dougal interacting with them. And it just reminds you, and she even says it in her voiceover, that, you know, maybe this alien planet that I'm on isn't so different from where I'm from. And I think they portrayed that perfectly. Like,
I
could have been in any TV show, like modern day TV show.
I thought they were trying to set that up even at the beginning. The way that everyone was interacting when they all returned home. Like, yeah. Hey guys, go get some stuff to eat. Like, it's good to see you. Ha ha, funny stuff happened. You know, and they're interacting and being friendly and family. And that was, I think, set up as soon as we started the episode.
Absolutely.
Even though Claire felt a little bit alien to that. But now that she's in the right dress and she's part of the, you know, Mrs. Fitz's atmosphere, she's getting fed and she's becoming part of this world, mm-hmm. But it's been like that the whole time. She's just not realizing it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the alien world, I read an article in People magazine, and they compared this show to The Wizard of Oz, how it's a whole new terrain for her, but there's so many similarities.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's great. Like, Dorothy kind of thrown into the wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, People
Where's
magazine.
Where's your reaction with my Lion King? I'm just kidding.
I mean, hey, I love Lion King. I love the Lion King reference as well. So, and when we see Dougal in that scene with the boys, we also see Claire. I mean, that's kind of why she makes this mistake when she goes in, she walks into, like, I guess it's like the Great
Hall. It's the dining hall,
which is the dining hall. She goes in, everybody, she obviously knows who she is. Gossip gets around the castle.
Oh, real fast.
Real fast. Everybody is staring at her. It's real awkward. And we see actually Dougal is the one to welcome her to the table and give her his seat. Which I don't know. That's why I like Dougal. Dougal's doing these little things for Claire, but I think you guys are right. It's obviously he's trying to figure things out with
her. Do you think that seat was for? That empty seat at the table. It was meant for somebody.
Jamie.
They obviously put it was for Jamie.
Or maybe they did it for her.
They just wanted an odd
she's
number.
A guest. Yeah, I don't know. But you know, she gets there. She sits down. She's next to Colm. We see the. Him pouring her that delicious-looking pink wine, which I really want to try some of that. If you know what that is, I know they say it in the book, but if you know where I can get it, can you let me know?
Or if you guys are in the UK or Scotland listening, can you send us some?
Yeah, just send us some. it looked delicious, because Claire was just down in it, like it was nothing. But we meet Colm's wife, who was a sassy Scottish lady, and she was awesome, Letitia.
Yep.
What do you guys think of Letitia and think of that whole scene in general?
She had a fury of a woman. Like, she was very, like, you could tell she was trying to befriend Claire, but at the same time trying to size her up like the rest of them.
Absolutely.
The fiery redheads get you every time, right? You gotta watch out for them. And I liked the look that she gave when Claire made the mistake of saying, you know, with your father when you're playing, like, immediately, yep, they had an affair. That's Dougal's son. Like, that was my immediate thought. Like, the look she gave, like, who do you think you are? But maybe that's... Yeah, I don't know.
And even the interaction with Dougal and Haymitch, the way they were playing, it does seem very fatherly. And that when after that interaction, you're like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, and think, is she in this position? Did she marry Colm for love? You know, or is it more so that it was arranged? Or we haven't really explored that in the show.
They explain it a little bit in the book, actually. And they actually kind of give it away in the book as well, because that syndrome disease that Colm does have, majority of the time, those men are sterile. So Claire figures it out very early on that, you know, that Haymitch is not... there's no way Haymitch can be Colm's son.
Well, spoiler alert.
Well, no, it's early on in the book, but yeah, that's one of the first kind of things she figures out as she's trying to navigate and figure out, okay, how am I gonna keep myself safe here? I have 5 days here. How am I gonna work this out?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was super awkward because that scene doesn't happen in the book where she was like, oh, hi, Haymitch. I'm Claire. I saw you playing with your dad, and everybody in the whole place is just like...
Because, like, I feel like it's a secret that everybody knows. Like, it's not a secret, but it is.
Exactly.
Do you think that was brought on by the alcohol, or do you think she would have said that before drinking?
I think it's because she felt she was being interrogated, and therefore she had to try and avoid the subject and answering the questions about her hometown and her
ancestors.
The stuff
she didn't know that she's making up.
Which, if I was in her spot, I'd be really scared because I don't know anything about my ancestors, so the fact they'd be asking questions.
Well, she
like,
was so quick. She was just right on it. I was very impressed.
Well, I liked throughout the episode that they kept flashing back to scenes with her and Frank, and he was like, she was trying to think of things that he told her about when you interrogate someone, and like, ways to keep it like sort of false, only changing small details. And I like that they cut back to a scene also with him looking for her, because you almost wonder, like, watching this, like, okay, has present time stopped?
Yeah.
Or like, is it overlapping at the same time? Like, you know,
how does time travel work in this universe?
Yeah.
But was that a real flashback to Frank in real time, or was that in her mind what she thought Frank was doing at that time?
Right.
I think that's
good that they're incorporating.
Great question.
Yeah, I like how they bring Frank back into the episode, because obviously he's not going to be until Black Jack arrives, but they keep throwing things in.
Mm-hmm.
So with being interrogated of what to do and how to react,
and
I like
was,
how they threw
that
him
was more
and
history in their past. But the car scene, I felt like, was more it was the present time for him.
Yeah.
Like, but more so than it was her in her mind.
But also builds a relationship at the same time of how they were before.
But speaking of the relationship, she said during the car scene, you know, that he would be worried that she had died or disappeared. And then I thought this was interesting. She said, or even worse, infidelity, left with another man. So that definitely spoke volumes right there.
Well, because she knows that that was one of Frank's kind of... That's an insecurity of Frank, mm-hmm. that Frank has. I mean, they were separated for 5 years and only saw each other ten days out of those 5 years. And there's a scene in the book where he actually kind of somewhat questions her about that.
It was in the show.
Yeah. I was in the show last week. And, you know, and she gets very offended because she's like, why would I do that to you?
But it almost makes you wonder if he was unfaithful to her at some point.
Exactly. Like,
and
why
now he's afraid that she was thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Also, just with talking about these, flashbacks, just I loved the parallel editing with as Claire was walking through different parts of the castle, and they didn't do it a ton. They didn't like overload it, but they did it just enough. So yay to the editing team and to the post team on Outlander. It's just, I barely noticed it, but it was such a nice like just touch and something I haven't really seen, I guess, in a TV show where you just so effortlessly flash into those other scenes that we saw in last week's episode when Claire and Frank were originally kind of in the castle.
Well, yeah, it was a nice bridge to kind of remind you, like, hey, you know, we've been here before and now we're back.
Yeah. Let's not forget that Claire is not of this time.
Yes.
And even you question, like, well, that wasn't in the book. Why would they show that? Why would they use that? That's a great way to elements.
Because they did use. I know a lot of criticism for last week's episode was that there was too much narration. A lot of people did not like the narration, but if you do read the books, you would understand more things without the narration. But if you haven't read the books, the narration is almost necessary because this is what's in Claire's head. This is Claire's point of view, and a lot of it, like, it's a lot of it is not spoken. So I liked that there was less narration. I think they added the narration only when it was needed. Mm-hmm. And
I like last week that you pointed out, because I was talking about how I thought I wish they would have introduced characters more and find out things about it. But you pointed out that this is Claire's perspective.
Yeah.
So we're seeing it from her point of view, and she doesn't know who these people are.
As we meet characters.
Yeah, so it's we're developing with her instead of us as audience seeing an action happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes us more, you know, relating to her character and the struggle she's going through. And so, I mean, that's a really good way to look at it.
Let's talk about some of the other characters.
I think we need to talk about some.
So, Mrs. Fitzgibbons was...
Mrs. Fitz.
Oh, my gosh. As soon as that is not at all how I imagined her in the book, but as soon as she started speaking, as soon as she moved, I was like, yes, that is Miss Fitz. Like, everything about her was amazing. I absolutely just... I literally wrote, Mrs. Fitzgibbons, or Mistress Fitzgibbons is perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfect. I loved her.
She reminds me of the cook from Downton Abbey.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Very, very cute.
Yes, adorable. What did you guys think of Mrs. Fitzgibbons?
In the book, that's how I saw her.
You did?
Yeah, I just pictured her. I mean, maybe a little bit more Mrs. Doubtfire-ish, but still, like, I pictured, yeah. It's exactly who I pictured, and I just loved her character when she goes, you can call me Miss Fitz. You know, other people call me Miss Fitz, you can do this.
That was, like, a cool moment, because there was an acceptance of her. Yeah. Like, you know what? You can call me Mrs. Fitz like everyone else does. Mm-hmm. You're not an outsider to me.
And it's like Mrs. Fitz... Even though Claire is an outsider, she just completely is just like, you know what? She doesn't point it out, but she helps Claire. Mm-hmm. She's there to, she's kind of like another Jamie. Like, Jamie realizes Claire is a fish out of water, basically. Mm-hmm. But Jamie doesn't make a big deal about it. He just helps her where he can. And Mrs. Fitz kind of does that too, which I really appreciate. And again, I know we talked about that, the dressing scene earlier, but that, it was just such a cool scene.
Their interaction when she sees her bra, she's like, what is that?
It's a brassiere. Yeah.
It's French.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I understand now.
That makes sense. Those are French people, I tell you. What are we going to do with
them? They're crazy. And what did you guys think of those different pieces of clothing? Would you want to wear something like that?
I don't think you'd have a choice if you're in that time frame.
I know, but I don't... I love kind of historical wardrobes. I love historical costumes, and I want to play dress up. I really do. I want corsets to come back. I want...
Make it happen.
Listen, Keith, I've seen you in an outfit like that. It looks good.
Okay. Oh, truth is coming out.
It's on...
This just got really weird.
It's on social media.
Oh. Yeah, Yeah, no, I did get to wear it. That was from, I guess, the 17, I don't know. It doesn't matter, but yes, I did.
1743.
No, I know. It wasn't from this time. It was from France, like Marie Antoinette time, which I guess is kind of around this time. Anyways, not important. No, that was 100 years earlier. Yes.
Well, I think that they should bring it back because I love that they like the big hips and they weren't so focused on like having to be so thin. Like,
well, actually, they were the look of the age. Like they wanted the big hips. That's why they wore the bustle around the side.
A very narrow
waist.
But
then they want super narrow waist. Like that's really what corsets. Yeah. And but the big hips, as like, because you guys were like, why would they want the hips to look big? It's because women back in the day, the bigger the hips, the more likely you were to bear sons, according to whatever people thought. But that's what they thought, and so. The bigger the hip, the bigger the hoe, right?
The bigger the man that's going to come out of there. That's what it is.
I guess so.
I'm more of a giant.
And that, it was kind of interesting, and I liked that they didn't hold back when it came to that changing scene, that they literally stripped her naked. Mm-hmm. Like, they stripped her naked, they stripped her of all of her, the future, basically, and put her in the past, and it was kind of a great assimilation for her, that first step. Into being, you know, in 17.
Being one of them.
And that was even in the voiceover for this week's episode and also throughout the episode. You know, I have to assimilate with these people. I have to, you know, get used to their culture if I want to survive.
Well, when she stood in the mirror, you know, in that outfit, I kind of got chills because she looked like she was part of it.
She looked the part.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we also met a man named Alec who he has a much, I feel like, this far into the book, a much more prevalent role. We know a lot more about him than we do in the show. But what do you guys think about Alec?
From what we saw in the show, you don't see much about him.
You don't. You don't.
He knows his horses.
He knows his horses.
I would say cranky. I mean,
cranky old man.
Yeah, I read the book, but I mean, the show, he just seemed very like bitter. And I don't even think they said his name on the episode, did they?
They didn't.
Mm-mm. No, so it's kind of like, you know.
He obviously is not. Well, we also saw him as soon as like the guys got in there. He's checking the horses, and he's the one kind of like, you know, giving them crap about it. And they very much disregard him. So you can kind of see, okay, his status is much lower than the Mackenzie men who were off to battle or war or whatever. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, I liked that when he was up at the, you know, when they were up at the stable, he's like, "Hey, get back to work. Quit sitting over here eating lunch and." Are these horses going to break themselves? Yeah. Like, when is he going to be done?
He's Jamie's boss. He's the one who even as little as he is, he controls everything.
He takes his role seriously.
Yes, he does. And he's very good at what he does. And I like that he doesn't even give Claire, like, Claire doesn't even bother. Like, he's just like, whatever. Like, just, you're busy.
I don't care who you are. My horses need tended to. That's more important.
Yes. I really like that. Liam Carney is who plays Alec. So let's talk a little bit about Colum and Dougal's men, who just are just as charming as they were in last week's episode. We really met. Who did we meet today? We met Rupert Mackenzie, Angus Moore, and one more. Oh my gosh, somebody help me out real quick.
Was it Murtaugh?
Yes,
Murtaugh. Yeah, Murtaugh. And those are the character, like the men that we really did see a lot of, and they are just so funny and charming, and I just love how they are written. What do you guys think about them?
I really like Rupert.
Yeah,
you like Rupert?
Snuggly. When he's chasing Claire around after they left the stables and he's following her and talking about, well, you know, you're going to be happy when I'm around when Captain Jack shows up and he tries to rape you because he likes the smell of animals and...
No, he was talking about Angus, because Angus is the one who switches off with him to guard Claire, and he's just like, you better enjoy me, because Angus is a, you know,
likes
he
anything.
Stinks and he likes anything.
I liked his reaction when Claire turned around to talk to him, like, oh, you can see me? Oh, that's weird, I should probably do a better job of spying on you.
I'm standing here leaning on this pole.
They're so crass, and this is where my filthy comment came in, referring to these guys, because, I mean, they just, like, roll around with the animals and they're okay with it. They're just very like, I mean,
back in the day, people didn't like showering and personal hygiene wasn't a huge thing. So I like that they're being very authentic to that when it comes to the costume design and the makeup. I do appreciate it.
I was surprised all of them had their teeth.
Well, it's interesting, like in a period show like this with, and being an actor and such, doing shows like this where you've been in period, it's almost like you want to immerse yourself. I've done shows where we've done outdoor things, and like we didn't shower. for like 4 days because it felt authentic to us to not shower, just like we were in the role of the people.
Yeah. And the more you shower, honestly, the more the bugs will bite you. So yeah, it's better to just not
shower. And smell like dirt. And
from my camping experiences. So the next person we met was...
we met Jenny.
Well...
Briefly.
We'll get to Jenny. Okay. We'll get to Jenny. But...
That's sorry.
Gilly. Gillis. Gilly. Yeah. Gilly. Yes, Gilly. I was like, wait.
I was surprised they brought her in so quickly.
I know! They, like... This, I'm okay with the way they did this,
yeah,
because, like, I absolutely understand that to tell the story that, it's a different medium to tell this story. So they did do it out of order. And I was very surprised, but I'm very happy that she's in now. And I really, really like the actress who plays her.
Me
yes.
too.
I think she's perfect.
She's so funny, and like the way she delivers her lines, it's a nice little comedic relief.
She's a little slow and drawn, but she knows like what her role is in the community.
I just think I love Scottish women. I wish I was a Scottish lady because they are awesome. They're so also sassy. You can tell they're all very strong. And, you know, they have to be partners to these men who are almost like brutes a little bit. And they're able to hold their own. And I think all the women that we've met in this world so far absolutely portray that. And I really, really like that.
Well, did you notice her husband's a lot older? Mm-hmm. And a lot of these women are married to much older men.
Oh, that's back in the day. That's how it worked.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's really cool how they're keeping it so authentic with that.
Well, yeah, they have to. They have to. What did you guys... Do you guys trust her?
Yes.
I like her.
She's someone I would trust.
I like the honesty of her, like, right away.
Mm-hmm. She's got a bit of, like, wiry to her, and I feel like she... You could tell her something, and she might... She might run with it, or she might keep it to herself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know yet.
Why are you?
And as soon as she meets Claire, Claire's like, "Oh, hi, I'm Claire." And she's like, "I know who you are." Mm-hmm. Like she very much knows the gossip of the town. But she's not intimidated by Claire, nor is she like taken aback or like thrown off. She likes Claire. She's trying to get Claire close. You can see that she's helping her.
Claire's so desperate for an ally, I think. So she's reaching out to anybody at this point.
When you can tell she's sort of an outcast, because why else is she out in the side of this hillside by herself, picking flowers and whatever she's doing out there, if she wasn't part of the community? This, you know, so she has that outcast sense to her, and I think Claire associates with her really quickly because she feels that.
Well, I think she relates to her because she knew that those mushrooms were poisonous, and to Claire right away, that's, oh, you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We kind of have similarities in that sense.
And she even called herself a witch.
Yeah.
Well, some people
think I'm a witch, but like to share that information immediately when you meet somebody, like, she's ballsy. She's just as ballsy as Claire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Claire seems like a very, very strong woman who is very bald. Like you said a couple times, Kendra, while we were watching the episode, especially the scene when Claire walks into the dining hall, you're like, gosh, this girl is ballsy.
She is ballsy. And that scene actually kind of reminded me of, you know, high school, trying to figure out where to sit in the cafeteria. Like, do I sit with the jocks? Do I sit with the nerds? Like, who's going to let me sit with them? And then, you know, Dougal did
find
the cave.
Everyone stops talking.
I definitely did have a Mean Girls flash in my head as she's looking around. I'm like, oh, that's different plans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of her, and I'm very excited to see where their relationship as women go in this era where men dominate. But they obviously are both so intelligent. So I'm very excited for that. All of you viewers should be excited too, especially if you don't read the books.
I'm excited.
You should be excited,
I'm so
Ryan.
Excited.
I had a question.
Yes, absolutely.
So when we were watching, I know when Claire was going to pick the flowers that she touched the stone and went back in time. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then remember when we were watching tonight and she said, Gillies Duncan said, these flowers will make you bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is there some kind of correlation? Like, you think with that? Because she was implying abortions and stuff like that with those flowers.
I mean, it could definitely be foreshadowing.
Okay.
Because the fact that they left that in.
Yeah.
And I also remember that specific scene from the book.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think that's a great thing to pick up. And the flowers, I don't know if they're the same flowers.
They weren't the same flowers.
Yeah, they were like purpley or something. They weren't that blue. So I don't know. That was definitely a very interesting thing for her to, again, bring up on their first meeting. Yeah. Like, by the way, if you need an abortion, they're right over there.
Yeah.
I'll help you out. Like, what? Girl,
that's
like
a true friend.
We just met, okay?
It's just it's almost like she's telling Claire, I break the rules, honey. Yeah. So
just
you know,
so you know,
it's okay.
I've seen you stand up to people, and I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. Or I'm against you. Or don't mess with me. It, you know, it could be either. Let's talk about my favorite person of the night. And both people I really like is Jamie and Claire and their relationship. It just really heated up this episode, you guys. From that first scene where she was changing his bandages.
Taking his shirt off.
Oh my gosh. I think every single episode we need to have an excuse for Jamie's shirt to come off. I think that's
Oops, I spilled something on you.
Take it off. Please.
Claire took her shirt off too. So for all you male viewers, there's something for everyone.
There is a lot of nudity in this show.
There are a couple of sets of boobs. This episode. But what did you guys see? Like, think of that scene. Like, we see Claire cleaning his wound. She's already done this. But for the first time, she sees those scars.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of the scars? As book readers, what did you think of the scars? And as somebody who hasn't read the book, what did you think of the scars?
I liked that they showed that, and I liked the little backstory, because it gave us information about Jamie that Claire doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that he is actually wanted by the English, and the fact that he, you know, stands up for what he believes in and helps people out. And I like that. It gives us a relationship bond with him.
Absolutely.
That we didn't have. I mean, people like him already because he's good looking, but like now we like him more, and also later on when he takes the beating for that girl, that we like him on a personal level because of his morals and the things that he does for people around him.
Absolutely.
He knows it's, you know, it's easier for him to get beat up and heal than it is for her to be embarrassed.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about you guys? What do you guys have both read the books.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what did you think? Did the scars look how you imagined them to look? Did they look gruesome enough or did they not?
I thought they were pretty much on the level I was thinking when I was reading it. But I really liked it because, like he said, it gave the character such depth that, you know, it's another dimension that mm-hmm. he really, you know, did get hit like that. And
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've never seen scars like that before, so it worked.
I thought they were very gruesome.
Yeah.
They looked a lot more gruesome than I was anticipating.
Well, and I thought they looked, when they showed his shirt off and the scars looked way worse than what I would have pictured if they would have just showed the beating. Like when he was getting whipped, because he was using a horse whip. He wasn't even using a real whip. Yeah. So he had to have been beaten several other times past that, because what they did to him in the scene with his sister, that wasn't enough to cause that.
Oh my gosh, that backstory scene. I mean, freaking Tobias Menzies, you are an evil, evil man as Jack Randall, and you are so, it's almost like a Joffrey. Mm-hmm. Like he's horrible. Mm-hmm. He's and Joffrey is the king in Game of Thrones, or was anyway. he's such a good villain. So you love to hate him, and you do hate him. And what he did to Jenny is just. I don't know. Like, I didn't know what he was gonna do, but that was so shameful and just really, ugh.
She was just so exposed. Like, I was not expecting, you know, him to just rip her bodice like that, you know? It was disgusting that they could do that to women back then, and I was disgusted and mortified the whole time during that shot.
Well, not even to women, just to two human beings that were just literally minding their own business, mm-hmm. and the English soldiers came in and just got annoyed with them and did that. And then Randall goes, not only he then beats Jamie in front of his sister after he exposes his sister to Jamie, but then he tells Jenny, okay, so I can either keep beating him or I can go and bang you in the house. Mm-hmm. It's your choice.
But then Jamie is such a contrast to that, and he's such an advocate for women when he says, you know, I'm going to take this and you can just, you know,
like,
that
don't
scene.
Don't go. Let them slit my throat before you agree to go.
So it's a really nice contrast there.
Obviously, his sister didn't get that strong backbone as he has.
But you can tell why Jamie, like, obviously... Like, I feel like guys who grew up with sisters, they have a different... I just think
protective instinct.
Yeah, this protective instinct. They treat girls differently, women differently. And I think that's why we see that protective instinct with him and Claire.
Mm-hmm.
His Sassenach. Oh. And at the end of that scene, when she cleans his wound, he says, you don't need to be scared of me, Claire. Or you don't need to be scared here, Claire, as long as I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when she says, well, what about when you're not with me? And he's like, well, just don't forget that you're English. And what the English have done to these people. Mm-hmm. So
And she's even experienced that now in the first episode, because
absolutely.
Captain Randall stops her and was about to rape her.
And then the chemistry, guys. oh my gosh, that hug. You wanted the kiss. You wanted, oh my gosh, Claire breaks down. Jamie comforts her. Kendra, you're just shaking your head. You just can't even.
I was annoyed during that scene, to be honest. Yeah, because the whole time she's sitting there with this hunk, this Scottish hunk, and she's thinking about freaking Frank. And
She was. She misses her husband.
Yeah, I don't like him at all.
I do like that she said he was dead.
Yes.
She said he's dead.
But no, she didn't say he was dead. She said he is not living.
Yes.
Because technically he's not born yet.
Well, it's true. He's dead in my eyes.
Whoa.
I don't like
really
it.
Really dark.
Frank is gone. Frank is gone. Jack Randall lives.
Frank and Jack Randall are not the same person.
I know. I don't like him.
But they are.
So, you know, we do see their chemistry in that first scene, but then we see the chemistry again when they're sitting in the stable together, and they just have kind of that fun, very relaxed conversation.
There was something that happened during that scene that I want to point out to you guys. You guys noticed, Jamie's trying to tame the colt, right?
The mare.
Well, okay, yeah.
It's a girl.
Yes.
It's a female horse.
So he's trying to tame it. Yeah. Do you think that could symbolize Claire?
Break it.
Oh, once he breaks the
I don't think
Claire.
He's trying to break Claire, though.
No, but tame her to keep her.
Well, he makes that comment when she spooks the horse about, you know.
She's just a wild
down.
Spirit.
Yeah,
what is
a wild
it?
Spirit.
Yeah. The horse is a girl with the spirit. That's Absolutely. What he said. So that could be Claire in a symbolized way.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, whoa.
Luckily, he failed then.
No, it's not done yet. It's not done.
I mean, it
could be the relationship. I'm just saying.
You're just hoping.
Well, and then we even
and once he tames it, they'll
and
do
then
it.
We even see when Jamie took that punishment for the young girl that Claire wanted to run.
Who we didn't
to
talk
him.
About, but Nell Hudson, actress.
Nell Hudson, she's adorable, little slut.
She's gonna be that night, Jamie for sure.
He's so admirable. Like I just can't even get over. You know, this is why I don't like Frank, because when you contrast the two, Jamie just has this, like, amazing nobleness and
what
two different
man.
Time frames, though, for Frank so, and Jamie.
I know,
I'm just saying.
I know. And when Jamie did take that punishment, like, at first I was like, oh, just don't hit his face. And then they just knocked him once in the nose and he started bleeding. I'm like, okay, leave him alone now. And then all of a sudden, Dougal gives, who was it? Who was it that he
it
gave?
It was Rupert, wasn't
it? It was Rupert, the look. And he punches him right in where he got shot. And the sound effect that you guys decided to use, I, like, cringed. I wanted to vomit. Everything about that, just, I felt the punch. Well, like, oh.
Even the interaction with Rupert and Jamie, you could see in their eyes, like, I'm sorry, gotta get you.
Well,
but
yeah, I apologize in advance,
cool.
But it's, I gotta do it.
Well, didn't he even say, watch your uncle? He said,
yep.
Watch him. And then that punch came. And
no,
it was
that wasn't
like,
Rupert. That was someone else.
But so, who, somebody...
Yeah, it was Murtaugh.
Murtaugh said that. Yeah. Before he got hit, though.
Yeah, so, before he went and got... Yeah, yeah.
Before he even volunteered.
Said, your uncle is planning something.
Yeah.
He's trying not to get him to do something, to do it, but...
And then he did that face, that face he always does.
I know.
Yeah.
So it's the hat. That's what it is. That's sexy about him. It's his hat.
You like the hat? You like the little beret?
Sorry.
And then we see... So, by the end of this episode, Claire is thinking she's leaving. She was told earlier in the episode she could leave in 5 days. She got through those 5 days. She was able to assimilate well enough. And we see a scene when her and Jamie actually say goodbye to each other. Like, thinking it's for good. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. And you just feel those sparks. I wonder, did they do a chemistry read? Because, man, if you guys just got lucky, you got real lucky with those two actors.
Well, they said they cast Jamie first, and
yeah.
Finding Claire was really hard.
Yeah.
So I think they did a really good job.
They did. So they say goodbye. Claire thinks she's leaving. She's about to leave, literally packing up all of her stuff. And Dougal comes and says, Colin wants to speak with you.
And she knew.
She knew. She was like, crap.
And this is where they did a great job overlapping the old stuff with the new stuff, because she remembers walking down the hallway with Frank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And she goes, and I was wondering when we were going to see the surgery come, because the surgery comes earlier in the book, and I was like, when are we going to see it? And I liked kind of how they tied it in and showed it at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel since you've read the book? Because in the book, it's her choice.
Yes.
And in the show, it's not her choice. How do you guys, I mean, from reading the book, how do you feel about that difference?
First of all, I don't even know why she'd want to leave. If I was in her shoe, I would just be like, you know what? I'm staying. Jamie's, you know, amazing. I think it's more exciting to the viewers to have her have to stay, but that's how I feel.
I think it's, I don't know. I because in the book she couldn't really leave. She didn't know where she was going. She like there was really no way she could leave. She was being watched. So I think to explain it like this in the show, I'm okay with it.
Makes it easier.
And
it does,
and it makes sense to me. I don't.
It makes you hate somebody too.
It doesn't make me hate Colm.
Really?
No, it doesn't. Okay. Colm is trying to protect his clan. Colm, in Colm's mind, this is the smartest thing to do. He's
they want to know more about her.
Yeah,
but it makes him a bad guy in Claire's eyes.
Well, no, I think Claire just doesn't like to be told what to do.
True.
So they don't have a medic on at the castle.
No, I mean, you got to think who knows stuff about medicine. Usually, only people just kind of figure out.
Mrs. Fitz does.
People aren't trained though in medicine at this time. It's stuff that people generally just learn on their own from experimentation, or somebody older teaches them.
Absolutely.
So, and I like that they referenced the Beatons as well, like that they were healers and whatnot, and the old history on that.
I'm so excited to see Claire get more into that.
Before I know we're running out of time, it's really quickly. I thought it was really interesting, back to when Claire was picking the mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice the music was jazz music? It was as though she was comfortable with where she was.
Yeah.
Like, time hasn't changed.
Absolutely.
And you can't get that from reading the book.
No.
I didn't even say that.
No, I really, really like it.
It was
like,
an interesting
take. You get the audiobook, maybe.
It's not in there.
I like that Colm also said that you're going to stay as my guest.
Yeah.
Like, you can stay as my guest or you can stay as my prisoner, but you'd probably rather be my guest.
Well, she'll be his guest until she leaves.
Yeah. Right. And that was basically a threat. Like, saying, stay here, be my guest, but be my guest or else.
And so the last scene that we see of this episode is Claire breaking down for the second time of this episode. We didn't see her break down at all. She was this very, very strong woman in the pilot. And we saw her break down at the beginning of this episode when she was thinking of Frank. And then we see her break down again.
Mm.
And so it's just these layers to Claire. And I think that the actress is just doing such a good job.
She's so talented.
She's so good.
She's really good.
For being so green. Oh my gosh.
I just didn't like how she was, the lines where she says, did Dougal make his thugs make this up, that line when she was delivering just sounded like she was kind of like whining though. I didn't like that delivery on it, because that just made me feel like she was weak. I don't know. I like Claire.
Was.
I like the actress.
I thought she was great. Let's get into predictions really quick, because we got to wrap this up, guys. Are we going to get, you guys, I know you don't.
There it is.
Oh.
Awesome.
AfterBuzz TV.
Oh, hey.
Predictions.
I love this.
Thank you. Thank you, Marissa. That is for all you fans out there who did not like our
After Us TV predictions music.
Yes. So if you hate the bagpipes, let me know. But I think they're appropriate.
Them.
Yeah. I like them better
the
now. I'm
going
to add them to all the After Buzz shows I do. So you guys, what are your predictions for next week's episode? I know you saw at the end, Claire was very beaten down and very alone at the end of this episode. What do you think's to come next week?
I think the confiding in Jamie is coming. Because it's really her only friend, you know, that she's had association with in both episodes. So I think that is what it's leading to, because we saw the sparks that they had this week. We saw the moments that they had and how they're getting trust, and he's choosing to trust her this week. I think that's the obvious next step. But also, I think that she's just going to find out more about the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that there's going to be a great escape, because when you tell Claire no... To her, no means yes, and she's going to do whatever she can.
And yes means take me, I'm yours.
Yes.
Sorry if you know where that reference is.
Well, that's the next thing. I also think that she will progress things with Jamie and hopefully, you know, forget about Frank.
I think we're going to figure out why Jamie was sent to work in the stables, because when Dougal was talking about it's better for him unless you think, Colm's, that he should be somewhere else, and he just stares him down. I think we're going to figure out what that meant, stare down.
We're going to figure out why Jamie's in the stables?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I'm excited just next week to see kind of Claire in action, putting her knowledge of medicine to work, to prove herself to these people. And I think people are going to start to let her in a lot more come next week.
I think so, too.
And I kind of hope Jamie gets beat up so his shirt comes off again.
Yes. Please.
Oh,
take
yes.
Jamie's
yes.
shirt
Rugged
off again.
Jamie.
All right.
Okay, well, until next week, guys, where can we find you?
Hey, you can find me at RyanHooks92 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat.
Hey, you can find me at...
Hey, all right.
I'm doing the Ryan Hook here. Hey, you can find me at Kendra Summer on Twitter. Also, I'm on Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Roy. That's HeyRoya.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Keaton Markey and at Keaton33. KeetinMarchi. Look it up.
Don't forget the 5-star rating on iTunes, and yes, we'll see you next week.
Thanks so much. Later. Hashtag Outlanders.
Happy Outlander Day.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.